Okay, look, I just want to talk a minute. I want us to have time to pray tonight. I want us to talk about the anchor of the mind, because people's minds today are just going all over the place. And if we are not anchored where we ought to be anchored, it will anchor in all these things. And so I want to ask you tonight, what occupies your mind the most? What do you think on the most? Is it worry? Do you stress? Are you concerned? Your mind's always taken with this or with this. The Bible tells the young people, by the way, we're the young people tonight. Dee said they were going to join us. Let's see, we got, there you go, Isaiah. God bless. So we're glad to have you guys with us tonight. But if it's not worry and stress, because we are the human creation, we have to pay attention or our minds will flop out into the future. We have no idea what's coming. Or it'll go way into the back. It'll go into your past. And then the devil will try to stir up guilt or shame or whatever it might be. So I'm just giving warning tonight, because we're in a brand new era right now. And we need all of our mind. We need all of our heart in motion with what God has for us. So I'm going to ask you, I am going to read from the Passion Bible tonight, because my goodness, when I saw this portion of scripture that came to me, and I saw it in the Passion, it's out of Hebrews. If you can look at it out of your Bible, but it'll probably confuse you if you see everything I'm reading here, but you just have to see it in Hebrews chapter 6. I'm going to start reading in verse 17. And so I marked it all in my Bible. It's been marked for a long time. But I thought, now I want you to see this in this Passion Bible. Okay. Have you ever just had your mind just kind of flitting around like a little bird? And it just flits over here and over there and just everywhere. And if we don't get it anchored where it should be anchored, that will continue. And as long as that continues, it takes you down a path that's really not very pleasant at all. It's not fun. It's not enjoyable. It will wear you down and wear you out. And so if we could get this chapter into our hearts, remember a few months ago we were putting chapters into our heart, and I pray that you will grasp this, the entire chapter, but I just want to pull this piece out for you tonight, because we are a purpose of, we are a people of purpose, we're a people of direction, but sometimes it just feels like there is no purpose or direction. And so if you let your mind go down that path, that's what you're going to feel, like you have no direction, you have no purpose. Well, that's a lie from the devil, because you do have purpose, you do have direction, and God has surely given it to us. All right, let me just get right to it, because I just want you to know, our prayer tonight, I just want us to come to prayer, because prayer has to be a part of our DNA. I mean, it just has to be a part of who we are. You know, and this is what you learn in, you know, in a lot of teachings, and we know it's true, our identity is in certain things. I knew a pastor's wife, and pastors can get here, evangelists can get there. Your identity is in what you do. And I've never wanted my identity to be in the church or my personal identity to be in pastoring. And I knew a pastor's wife, and they resigned their church, and she's like, I don't even know who I am. I'm like, well, that's no good. That's not good at all. And, you know, they will tell us that men have their identity in what they do. You know, well, who are you? Well, if somebody asks you, who are you, you'll tell them where you work. For a woman, her identity is usually in her relationships. Talk to a woman for 5 minutes. She's going to be telling you about her kids, her grandkids, her husband, her relationships. Talk to a man, he's going to tell you where he works and what's going on the job. And so men want to be somebody's hero, and women just want to be beautiful to somebody. And so that's kind of the way it is, but we have to have that anchor fixed, and you'll see what I'm talking about here, because Jesus gives us some instruction here, and his entire instruction, I would say, church, the only way that we will ever draw close to him is through prayer and through his word. You know, I could say I'm beating that horse, but I'm not. It's just a must. And it should be said every single service. I wouldn't be ashamed to say it every single service if I don't. That to draw close to him is going to require prayer, and it's going to require, hallelujah, his word. All right, you ready to look at this? Kathy, you got it? Did you find it? Okay. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 17. Now, he had been talking about Abraham and how Abraham waited patiently with his faith. When he had no children, God said, "No, you're going to have one." Well, he waited 25 years, and there was nothing until he was too old to have a baby. And now that's when your faith takes a hit. Is when you got too old, too quick. You don't have enough money. You don't have the education. You're this, you're that, you're not this, you're not that. The devil makes sure he tells you what you are not. Okay. So I'm just giving you a little foundation there because we'd been talking about down in the 15th chapter. You don't have to go back there, Kathy, but about Abraham and how he waited patiently and how God confirmed his promise to him. So that's what brings us here to this. So in verse 17. So in the same way, God wanted to end all doubt and confirm it even more forcefully to those who would inherit his promise. Somebody say, that's me. Okay, so we inherit his promises. His purpose was unchangeable. So God added his vow to his promise. Two things you learn there. One is that he has a promise that's unchangeable. His purpose is unchangeable. And look at this. It is impossible for God to lie. And we know that his promises never change. Two things. He never lies. And it's impossible for his promise to change. If he promised it, he's going to do it. So it doesn't matter what anybody else says. You may lose your faith and walk away from it and forget it and get yourself in a mess. But as far as God, he said, no, I'm not the one that lies. I have promises I made to you, and he doesn't plan to keep them. He just does. Okay. And now this is where you're going to get in. Oh, you found it, Kathy? Okay, good. Is this the Passion? And now, look at this. And now we have run into his what? Ah. We ran into his heart to hide ourselves in his faithfulness. Woo, I'm telling you, it doesn't get any richer than that. How do we get into his heart? By prayer. When you go sit alone with him, when it's just you and him and the Bible and your yellow pad or whatever you have, you may not have anything, it's just you and he in the car. But don't forget your secret place. You have to have a place where it's just you and he goes. Now, somebody else may use that place, but it has to be the same place. Doesn't always have to be the same time. But if it is the same time, then it develops a good habit for you to go there. Okay? So this is where we get into the heart of God, is when we begin to pray. So let me read this again. And now what? Now that we know that his promises never change, he never lies. Now we have run into his heart to hide ourselves in his faithfulness. This is where, that's why I want to sing that song again and again. All my life you have been faithful. So we hide ourselves in his faithfulness. This is where we find his strength and comfort. For he empowers us to seize what has already been established ahead of time. An unshakable hope. So as we seize him, we grab a hold of his heart. We grab a hold of his promise. We grab a hold of who he is. We grab a hold of his character. We grab a hold of his love. And when we get into his heart of faithfulness, there we are. With his faithfulness, with his unchangeable laws, with his unchangeable promises. And he said, right here in prayer with me, when you come to be with me, when you come to talk to me, that's where you find not your strength, they said, his strength. You need to circle that if you got your Bibles open. This is where we find his strength and comfort, for he empowers us. That's where you get your power and your strength. For he empowers us to seize what has already been established ahead of time. So he said, I already established your promise for you, Portia, though you weren't even here. You weren't even thought of. For you aren't, because there's two different people right here. Every single one of us is different. For you, Linda, when you were on that little farm in Kennett, Missouri. He said, I already had some promises planned for you. I had ahead of time. Don't you love that? I planned some things ahead of time, Sal, with your name on it. So deep. Oh, my goodness. It's already been established ahead of time. And look at this. It is an unshakable hope. Nobody can shake this. Listen, no one can shake these things. The Bible said it just can't shake it because his promises are unshakable. Then you say, how come I don't get some of my prayers answered? Well, could it be that you have filled your empty cup? Could it be that you have filled your mind with despair, with worry, with strife, with fear, with depression, with stuff, with the kids, with work, with finances, with anything you can think of? The past, the present, the future. The devil wants our minds anywhere except right now. If he can get it on the future or the past and not have it right now, because everything for you is good right now. You may have something going on at home, but look, you're here. Things are good in your heart. Satan's like, no, I don't want you there, so I'm going to have to rattle that unshakable hope. So the way he does that is to fill your mind in the middle of the night or during the day on your drive home when you're alone. That's why you have to have a place where you can get alone with God. Because if you don't, the devil will make sure that you get alone with him. And he will whisper and he will do this the entire time, all the way home. Sometimes you go home, I go home from church, and he will just be kicking me all the way home until I realize, stop it. Right now in Jesus' name. You don't listen to that. You leave that alone and you move on. Fill your mind back quick. Okay? Don't give him any time. Because if you do, it'll mess with your mind. It'll mess with your heart. And this is the place I want to be, is in his heart of faithfulness. Hallelujah. So he said, when you're here, since I have established some things ahead of time, that gives you an unshakable hope. So that's why I'm bringing this word to you tonight, is to give you that hope that nothing can take away. Nothing. He said it's an unshakable hope for you. Now, we have, and I'm glad this word says this, a certain hope. We have this certain hope, like a strong, unbreakable anchor holding our souls to God himself. Okay, this uncertain hope we just read about, he says the hope is an anchor of the soul. The soul is what gives us all of our trouble. Your spirit is healthy. Your spirit is strong. But it's that soul, that mind, that flesh. Okay, but he says this, the veil was torn when Jesus died on the cross. Remember, it was torn from the top to the bottom. So he says, now, this is a big deal. Your soul gets anchored. Your soul is anchored to something much bigger than you. Your soul is anchored now to something bigger than your worry, larger than your stress, bigger than the situation you're in, bigger than the problems in the family, bigger than anything you could face. Because we have now this unchangeable, a certain hope that's strong. Chris said it's steadfast. That means it's unmovable. It's like a rock because it is founded on the rock, Christ Jesus. And so this anchor anchors our soul to God himself, the one that's behind the veil that sits on his throne. Again, the veil's been broken down. So, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says, come boldly into the throne of grace that you might find mercy to help you in time of need. Get the help. And so we can just go in anytime. So he said, so you now have attained these precious promises and they anchor your soul to God that sits on the mercy seat. Look at this. Our anchor of hope is fastened to the mercy seat in the heavenly realm beyond the sacred threshold. Passion says it just a little bit different than the King James. Let me read it again. Our anchor of hope is fastened to the mercy seat in the heavenly realm beyond the sacred threshold. And where Jesus, our forerunner, has gone in before us. A couple of thousand years ago, he went in there. He went in there. He's there. And so we are anchored to him. Look, it says, he is now and forever our royal priest, like Melchizedek. We have a high priest, not on this earth, but there. And he all belongs to us. So we anchor our life. When we anchor our soul to him right here, we anchor ourselves to his promises, we anchor our life, we anchor our minds, we anchor our soul, we anchor everything we are, Shannon, to him. And that's how you get through the things you get through. You're like, my goodness, how did that happen? And I kept my head up, my shoulders back. So anyway, I guess I'm just going to stop there because that thing's so full and I didn't really have a lot of time to study it. All I did is read the word to you. That's all. So, you know, sometimes all you got to do is read the word and it's so power-packed. What else could I add as pastor? I couldn't add anything to that. So I'm just going to let you take that, anchor your soul, and let's get anchored here for a few minutes and come to him and pray and just leave everything aside and let us just come to him and draw close to him. Amen. Lord, bless us. Bless your people. Bless them and keep them. Cause your face to shine upon them. Turn your face toward them and be gracious to them. Lord, turn your countenance toward your people and give us peace in Jesus' name in all we do. As we anchor to your heart of faithfulness, in Jesus' name, amen. Don't forget to draw close to him by prayer, amen.